Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
My name is Philip Flores. I am today's practitioner of the day. My pronouns are he and him. And my ancestors hail from Mexico and Spain. So let's go ahead and settle in. I'll start off with a opening invocation. So welcome, everyone. And this I know is true, that there is only one divine source, one divine energy, one divine love. And I welcome it this morning, as I welcome you, to connect with your hearts, connect with your minds, connect with your feelings, in knowing that this one truth is operating in and through you each and every moment. And I welcome this awareness as we listen to Esther's talk in learning and discovering our authentic selves. And this alone brings me so much joy. I am filled with joy bubbles. And I know that all is well. And so it is.
I'm Esther, and my ancestors hail from Africa. And I'm so honored to be on this land today with each and every one of you. We are one, is that correct? And with everything that's going on in the world today, we need to constantly be reminded that you are my sister, you are my brother, I am your sister, we are all sisters and brothers, and there's a new world on the horizon. Welcome, beloved. We're not only being asked to change, we're being mandated to change. But change into what? To change back into that which we were created to be in the first place. Back to the beginning, before we forgot that we were whole, that we were enough, that we were worthy, that we were safe. Safety starts in here. So we are being asked to change with the roadmap home to our authentic self by way of recovery. And when I talk about recovery, we typically look at recovery as I'm recovering from something, or someone is recovering from some financial crisis, some addiction, some emotional crisis, mourning or grief. I'm recovering from something. But the real definition of recovery is the rediscovery of that which has already been established but may have gotten misplaced, lost, or obstructed. Can I get an amen? Amen. So absolutely, while we address the symptoms of the illusion of separation as recovering from something, rock bottomly and at our core, we are here to rediscover, recover, and reawaken to that aspect of us that is spoken about in Genesis, where God looked at everything it had made and stated that it was good and very good. Yes? In the beginning, which there is no beginning because God, life, the infinite, is infinite. But if we look at, okay, in the beginning, okay, if you want to say that. When God looked at everything and named it after itself, it didn't look at the ocean and the waves and the tides and say, you're not coming in on schedule, so I name you not good enough. It said, I name you good. I only see you good. It didn't look at the cosmos and say, you're not orbiting correctly, so I name you unworthy or I name you shame. It said, I name you after myself. I name you good and very good. And it didn't create you, CSL of Bellingham. every single one of you and say, you didn't get it perfect enough today. You weren't productive enough today. You procrastinated today. You did some things that, you know, you didn't want to do today. You acted on in a certain unskilled behavior today. So I'm going to name you shame and unworthy. It said, no, beloved, I name you good and very good. No matter what. Oh, man. How awesome that was for me the day that I realized I had nothing to prove to God. That it had already named me good even though I was acting out. Do you know how beloved, how wonderful that feels to know that you're out of alignment, to know that you're acting out, but feel how loved you are? That makes the acting out just so less heavy. It gets you home so much quicker. So I want you to put your hands on your heart and say, I'm good and I'm very good. Life named me good and very good. I forget sometimes, but it's there. The real me. I'm good and very good. I'm loved no matter what. No matter how much I'm acting out. I'm good and very good. And that's easy to say. I understand that. That's easy to say. But when you don't feel it, when you have to struggle through it every single day, through affirmations and trying to remember the truth of your beingness, when you're just so exhausted and fatigued and your mind is looping over and over and over again, and you're trying really, really, really hard to heal, but you've unconsciously and unintentionally have disconnected from your I'm good and very good because it's not at the frequency of who you think you are. God, life, the infinite, only sees you as good and very good and only sees you as itself, but the laws of the universe can only mirror back to you who you think you are. What it is that you really, 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 really believe. Not what you want to believe, not what you think it's spiritual to believe, but what you really believe, because that's the answer as to what's going on with you. Yes? And so we find ourselves forgetting who we are. And I tell people, you may have been born into dysfunction, and being born into a dysfunctional family or into a dysfunctional environment simply means you were born into a family of unhealed and unmanaged crisis. That's what dysfunction means. You may have been born into dysfunction, but you were created out of greatness. But until we remember that, we just keep looping and we keep praying and we keep trying and we keep trying to go to this frequency, and we might glimpse it for a minute, or we might demonstrate something, or we might manifest something, and then we're right back down here again. How many of you has that happened to you? Two of you. That's amazing. That's amazing. All two of you. And that keeps happening to the degree where you've asked yourself on occasion, what's wrong with me? How many of you have asked yourself that? What is it about me? What's wrong with me that I can't get it? And in my journey, which has been so healing, so transformational, I saw that we were being invited to reframe that question from what's wrong with me to what happened to me. What happened to make me forget that I'm good and very good? Because that matters. Not to pull over and park there, but to acknowledge it, process through it, allow the infinite within you to dissolve it, but by ignoring it and trying to do a spiritual bypass, Ernest Holmes says you cannot demonstrate beyond where you are in consciousness. And whatever state of development we are, it's because that is our capacity in that given moment. That's the capacity of your nervous system at that moment. And when we can have compassion and say, okay, I don't know why, But this is my particular state of development, and this is what keeps cycling and patterning over and over and over and over again in my life. Well, what happened to me to make that happen? I invite you to put your hands on your heart. Just go within and ask yourself, what happened to me to make me forget? Inhale deeply and exhale into peace. I remember when it started happening to me, because before I was 5 years old, I thought I was the center of the universe. I didn't even think about love or worthiness or not enoughness. I just was. So happy, so friendly, so trusting, so innocent. Loved everybody, unguarded, undefended. Until my first day of school in kindergarten at Donna Fisher. I put on my little big girl skirt, and I was so happy and proud to be going to my first day of school. So innocent, wanting to play with everybody, wanting to be everybody's friend. And Donna Fisher, another five-year-old, drugged me around the playground by my ponytails while everybody laughed. And the teacher was like, get over it, you're on the playground. So the message that I took on, the experience was horrific, but what followed me was the message, what I made it mean about myself, that continued to carry on in my life, because I forgot in that moment, because it was not properly processed for me in that moment, I took that on as my identity. Can you dig what I'm saying? And when we take that on, that false identity and that anxiety, and we're living the trauma, even though the trauma is over, it creates a sense of separation. We don't have access to the infinite presence and power within us, even though it is there, nearer than your hands and feet, closer than your breathing. Can I get an amen? So what is forgetting who you are? What does that look like in your everyday practical life? It might look like you constantly saying yes when you really mean no. One of you? Just, okay. It might look like shrinking when it's your time to shine. Any of you? It might look like accepting something in your life that you know on a soul level that you are so much bigger than that, that you've outgrown even that old vision, but your fear and your indoctrination and your imprint of I will never put myself out there to be hurt or disappointed again holds you back. Has that ever happened to you? It's okay, beloved. We have compassion for that. We don't try to bulldoze it through prayer. We acknowledge it. We process it. We bring it in prayer. We bring it in. We include it all. Yes? When you find yourself anxious for no reason, depressed, which is the oppression of your authentic self, you're doing the best you can at your level of development at that particular time, because that is where trauma took you. And I remember almost accepting something again that I knew I had outgrown spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And I was on the phone with the client many years ago, a potential client, and I was all happy and spiritual and, you know, being my Esther self. And then we started talking about money. How many of you do the funny dance when somebody talks about money? Your knees get weak. Something happens in your tummy. Your mouth gets dry. Just a whole different thing happens when you start talking about money. And it's like, whoa, my energy went from here in this conversation to boom, down there. But this time I saw her. This time I saw her. I didn't try to pray her out of it. I didn't try to affirm myself out of it. I had to sit with it and say, what is this? What happened to me? To make me afraid to ask for what I want. Afraid that if I ask for what I want, I might not get anything. How many of you have done that before? So let me settle. And when I came to that realization that this was an intergenerational, familial, cultural, familial imprint that wasn't even mine, that I was born into it, not of it, but it was deeply imprinted upon my unconscious mind that all the really good stuff wasn't for me. I was like, oh, that's what it is, the core. Point to your insides and say, the core. The core. And I made a decision I would never negotiate or make a decision from that wounded place again. I want you to repeat after me. Say, I will never make decisions from that wounded place anymore. Now, I know you mean it. Say, I mean it. I know you mean it. I know you mean it. I meant it too. I meant it too with everything within my being, just like I'm doing this. But something deeper than that said, oh boo, but you will. You'll do it again until the core is healed. Until the core is healed, you will have that day when you will forget who you are again and you'll accept crumbs instead of tofu. And I just, well, sometimes a little chicken, but I made the decision to go within and to do that deep core work because I knew here's the first step of recovery. As badly as I never wanted to make decisions from that place again, I was powerless. And it was making my life unmanageable. That the me that was in my intergenerational trauma imprint ways of being was not the power that was going to heal this illusion of separation from my good. Do you feel me? So I had to go within and do my soul recovery and rediscovery and reawakening work and release the cords that had me bound to my family and my intergenerational woundedness and money trauma and traumas about everything. And I had to let myself know I'm not abandoning my family. I'm not abandoning my tribe. I'm releasing their limited beliefs. And somatically, do you know how deep that is? No matter what your family paradigm is, no matter how unhealthy it is, when you think about letting it go, your nervous system does another little funny dance. But when we can do the deep healing soul recovery work practice, which is what I did in that situation, and I came out of it making a decision to leave the offer on the table. I want you to repeat after me and say, sometimes I gotta leave the deal on the table. Because here's what happens when you leave the deal on the table in the name of your worthiness, in the name of your self-value, in the name of your I'm good and very good, in the name of I am one with the infinite and all that God has is mine. When I leave the deal on the table and there's seemingly nothing left, by leaving that deal on the table in the name and in the nature of God, of your true self, that void will be filled with the infinite something that is beyond your wildest imagination. I'm telling you what I know, that the many times I've had to leave the deal on the table in the name of the truth, not knowing what was going to replace it, not knowing if it was going to be replaced, but just remembering that spirit within me had never failed me. When I walked away in the name and nature of truth. So how do we do that? How do we do that? What is the roadmap back to my authentic self, back to the truth of my beingness? Well, the first stop on the roadmap is acknowledging that you have a pattern, is acknowledging that you have a loop, is acknowledging that you have a cycle, acknowledging that it's bigger than you. Acknowledging that no matter how much you try to think yourself into a coma, and I have many days, trying to figure it out, trying to fix it, trying to do it, just tired, just exhausted. So when you think of something that you're trying to fix, figure out, resist, fight, impress, whatever it is that you're trying to do right now, and it's just making you more and more and more stressed out, I want you to just hold your arms like this. This is what you're doing. This is what you're doing energetically. But when you can repeat after me and say, I'm powerless. I'm powerless. Yay. So what does yay do? It makes root. It reveals the infinite something that is beyond your wildest imagination that now has room, space to get through you as the channel. So that first stop on the roadmap home is getting my small self out of the way. Jesus said, of myself I can do nothing. Einstein said, I cannot heal the problem at the level of the consciousness that created the problem in the first place. The first step of recovery says, I admit that I of myself am powerless, and it makes my life unmanageable. Say it, I don't have to do it. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to figure it out. Thank you. Thank you. Release. Relief. And this opens you up to the next step of recovery, which says, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Well, the power greater than yourself is the real self, is the real you within you, is the highest version of you. It is your soul. And this power can restore you, but you can't be restored back to something that was never the truth about you in the first place. And sanity is wholeness. Sanity is my good and very good, my true identity. But I get to be restored to sanity in the third step when I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. So when I turn my will, and some people say, where there's a will, there's a... No, where there's a will, there's a wall. So when I turn my walls, all the ways that I'm in the way that I may not even know that I'm in the way, I turn my very life, I turn everything over to the care of the infinite as I now understand it. And as we do this and we continue with this work and we continue with the forgiveness work and we continue with cleaning up our energy and doing our deep somatic soul work and releasing our body from the memories of these false identities that we have taken on, we awaken. We are resurrected out of the tomb. We are awakened and we are resurrected to our true and authentic selves where we can go from what's wrong with me, to what happened to me, to what's possible for me. What's possible for me from this frequency of who I really am? And I awaken to the infinite possibility. And I smile because you remember that you're home and you're safe. You're safe. Everything's okay. You're on track. You're not behind. You're on schedule. And you are loved. You are good and very good. Just breathe into that for a moment. As we take this moment to pray, Holy Spirit, divine presence, infinite life, Lord God, almightiness, that is omnipotence, meaning there is not this life, God and you, or God and your prosperity, or God and your health. There is God. I am that I am. Right where you are, who you are. It doesn't know anything else other than your wholeness. Nearer than your hands and feet, closer than breath. And so it is from this place that I speak my word for each and every individualized expression of God in this place and beyond, and the lives that they will touch and the lives that they will influence, knowing that they radiate the infinite, that they are transparency of wholeness, of kindness, of compassion, of self-compassion, of self-love, of self-realization, of divine safety. That their cup runs over with good. And that in their hearts, in their nervous systems, in their brain, in their unconscious mind, everything comes into divine alignment with the One.